Support for this podcast and the following message come from Wise, the app that makes managing your money in different currencies easy. With Wise, you can send and spend money internationally at the mid-market exchange rate. No guesswork and no hidden fees. Learn more about how Wise could work for you at Wise.com.
Today on State of the World, life without a government in Haiti. Thanks for listening to State of the World from NPR. We bring you the day's most vital international stories up close where they're happening. It's Wednesday, March 27th. I'm Greg Dixon. Haiti is in the middle of a crisis, one of its worst in decades. And that's saying something for this extremely poor country that has been through crisis after crisis. The central government in Haiti has effectively collapsed. The prime minister is out of the country and unable to return due to gangs in Port-au-Prince, who are also preventing a new transitional government from taking power. But in some parts of Haiti, people have lived without a functioning state for so long, they've forgotten what it's like. NPR's Eder Peralta takes us to one such place.
Out in this small town in northern Haiti, just a few miles from the main road, the government never bothered to install electricity. Still, Monsieur Matina walks across the dirt roads with a smile on her face.
She's the mayor of this town, I guess.
She's
got to be left.
She's not really the mayor, but she spent her 65 years of life right here. She remembers when she was a kid, she would swim in the rivers that have now dried up. She remembers this was fertile land.
As long as you drop the seed on the floor, it will grow.
In truth, she says, back in the day, they didn't even think about the government. They always had sufficient rain, always sufficient food. This place was full of lush rice fields. But over the past decade or so, the climate has changed and the rains have become unpredictable.
They missed harvest for pistachio, beans, for yam,
they miss all that, they can't have it anymore.
These days, she says, they are forced to eat what she calls white people food. In Haiti, rice is a staple, and about 80% of it is now imported from the United States. Matina shakes her head. The only thing they need to change that is a few wells and a few pumps from the government, and this land could be lush again.
And the government, no wells?
No.
No. We don't have a government to do these kind of things.
So there's not even anybody to ask.
Even
if there was like a local authority, they don't do anything. You see how the roads are. They said they were going to hope to do it. They did nothing. They did nothing for us.
Matina walks across a field. Planting anything here, she says, would be risky. Her neighbor, Antoine Jean Bellamy, says he just planted 1,000 plantain trees, and they're all starting to yellow because it has not yet rained.
When he works, he realizes it's worthless.
The biggest discouragement is that
you will see the youth just up and leave and go to DR to get humiliated.
To the DR, the neighboring Dominican Republic, to get humiliated. Matina walks over with a couple of pictures. One is of her dressed all in white, finally completing her first communion just a few years ago. The other, she caresses gently. It shows her son smiling for a studio shot.
Oh, wow. Handsome.
Father of four child.
Wow.
In this village, there was no way to get ahead, she says. So he left for the Dominican Republic about a year ago, and that was the last time she heard from him.
And you don't have his phone number, nothing?
No.
No.
Wow.
It's the story of this region. She lowers her gaze. She lowers her voice.
But I just hope that he's around.
If
he had died, I would have known.
If he was dead, she says, I would have felt it. Just along Haiti's northern coast, about an hour away, we hit a town called Wanamint. About a year ago, private citizens decided to move forward with a long-planned canal that would divert some water from a shared river with the Dominican Republic to a canal designed to irrigate vast farmlands in northern Haiti. There, we meet up with members of an environmental police force that has gone rogue to patrol the project. Minas Darius carries an assault rifle as he walks along the concrete retention walls that are still under construction.
And this is civilian project.
We're civil.
All you see here, the state didn't do, the government didn't do anything. It was just the population, the diaspora, all Haitians living all around the world that did this. If this was being done by the Haitian state, till this moment, it probably would have not been done.
This project, however, has been controversial. The Dominican Republic shut down its border to protest. Haiti's de facto prime minister ordered the environmental police force out, and he fired their leader. But the BSAP, as they are known, simply ignored Prime Minister Ariel Henry, and the construction has kept moving forward.
And we will stand with the people, although we are part of the state. Yeah, we're a legal body, a legal force. We come from the government, but we cannot abandon the people.
To Darius, this project speaks to two realities in Haiti. First, of a dysfunctional government that can't seem to provide the basics for their people. And second, how the Haitian people always find ways to survive despite their government.
Does this give you hope?
Oui, ça déjà un espoir.
Yeah, this is already some hope.
De montrer que si nous-mêmes,
it shows that if us, the people, we put our heads together, we unite, there's a lot we can do.
And that is what we hear across this small town until we stop to talk to 28-year-old Degage Diodone Lamour.
Yeah, but I can say they cannot give me hope, but...
But he doesn't want to talk about the canal. He used to be a welder in the Dominican Republic, and about a year ago, just when he had started building a life there, he was deported back to Haiti. All his tools and his clients stayed in the Dominican Republic, and ever since, he's been stuck here, far away from home.
I cannot get there because I don't have anything in my hands in terms of money.
He lowers his head to say what's really worrying him. Even if he gets home, he says, what will people say? He took a chance. He left Haiti with its failing state, with its world of problems, to strike out on his own. But now he's back with absolutely nothing to show for it. How, he asks, will he explain that to his family? Ada Peralta, NPR News, in northern Haiti.
That's the State of the World from NPR. Thanks for listening. See you again soon.
Across America, history is often recorded on small markers. You've probably seen them on the sides of roads, in front of buildings, in the middle of nowhere. NPR's Laura Sullivan spent a year investigating thousands of markers and found a distorted version of America's history, but also curiosities, humor, and joy. Listen to the new episode of The Sunday Story on the Up First podcast from NPR.
This message comes from Schwab. When it comes to managing your wealth, Schwab gives you more choices, like full-service wealth management and advice when you need it most. You can also invest on your own and trade on Thinkorswim, Schwab's powerful, award-winning trading platforms. Plus, you'll get low costs, transparent pricing, and 24/7 live help. Schwab understands it's your financial journey, and they believe you should have choices in how you invest. Learn more at schwab.com.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure. OCI is the platform for database, application development, and AI needs. Do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic. Take a free test drive at oracle.com/NPR.